Hello, and welcome to the D&D Comedy Channel, DementedDungeonsAndDragons.com, where we talk about everything retarded. So, anyways, yeah, this is the Dumb and Dumber radio show. Dumber is going to be here in a little bit. I'm not sure which one of us is dumb and which one of us is dumber. But anyways, now, yeah, Dumb and Dumber. Maybe we should call it Dumb and Dumber Podcast. Nobody really calls in anymore, but one guy today made a good point. He said people are probably not calling in because they're afraid the New World Order will have their phone numbers and whatever, blah, blah, blah. So that's a valid point. We may have, you know, followers, listeners, that are afraid to call in because they're afraid of the New World Order, and I understand that. We're not afraid of the son of a bitches, but, I mean, I am a little bit, but not enough. Yeah. I won't sell out, so you ain't got to worry about me. I haven't decided exactly what office I'm going to be running for, but I will be running for political office as a freedom fighter. I just got a text or something. I thought somebody called in. Not yet. Anyways, yeah, I was promoting myself to run for Congress. But being a truck driver, the New World Order makes it very difficult for me to run for Congress in the state of Missouri. And maybe someday I still will, because next year I'm getting off the road. But, and I'm almost done paying child support, so I can afford to get off the road and start pursuing my dreams. One of my dreams is our off-grid organic farm. And then I also have my IT business on the side. I have two business partners who somewhat help me with that. One of them helps me with the server, and then I pretty much do everything else. While my other business partner, he pretty much does his stuff. And then, Terry helps me with the server and also does web development for other people. So if you need a website, Terry and Jamie both do that. You can find them at KCLAI or KCLAinternational.com. And web hosting, we do that as well. You can contact either Jamie or Terry, primarily Terry at KCLAinternational.com. And then David Ray is pretty much my business partner for the off-grid organic farm and retreat. Eventually we'll have the retreat up, be kind of like where people can come and camp out and learn from us what we're doing. Alternative health, alternative energy, and alternative thinking. It'll kind of be like a hippie gypsy type of environment. But not entirely, you know. We're more like conservative hippies. So, whatever that means. But we study pretty much everything, and that's basically what our podcast is about, is pretty much everything. You know, we really don't have a box. Anything outside of the box, we pretty much talk about. And sometimes we get off subject and talk about things that are not important. And forgive us for that, but, you know, we're a little ADD, I guess. We're OCD ADD. So let's see who contacted me. Oh, okay, it was not a text. I got a message on my Kano Trump profile and in this chat app that is a waste of time because there's nothing but catfish on there. So let's see what is going on at Facebook. David's 3 minutes late. Yeah, I know my password's wrong because I didn't enter it. All right, let's see here. La, la, la. La. Dun, 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 dun. I did that right. Yeah, I'm in. All right, who messaged me? Jamie. So, okay, it's personal. I'll get back to her on that. Anyways, yeah, Jamie should call in. She would be a great caller for the podcast. She is very much into all the things that we're into. Well, maybe not all of them. Most of the things that we're into. Would love to have her on the farm. She has a wonderful green thumb, where we do not. David's more of a composter. Jamie is very good with gardening. She could really, you know, boost our potential when it comes to gardening. In me, I don't know what my gift is, but I got something to offer, I guess. But, yeah. Our off-grid organic farm and retreat. I was going to originally call it an off-grid organic hippie farm and retreat. But David Ray thought that would be too controversial for our area. So we dropped the hippie part. And then I bumped into two attractive women. Hey!
Hello!
And welcome to the Demented Podcast. I mean, the Comedy Channel.
Right.
Right. I was just telling them about how we came up with the name for our farm retreat.
And yeah.
Why we
the person who came up with the name denies it.
No, that's the podcast.
That's true.
The farm and retreat, we were originally going to call it a hippie, off-grid organic hippie farm and retreat.
And we can still call it that, but, you know, it's kind of a nickname rather than
Right. What's her face liked it?
Yes. Well, yeah, it got some positive response after the fact.
Right. Bow, bow, bow. Oh, okay. So, podcasting. I got some feedback today about why we may not be getting callers.
Yes.
Because we talk about anti-New World Order stuff.
No.
So people may be listening, but they may be afraid to call in.
Well, but there's lots of people who talk about anti-New World Order stuff, and they call in a lot.
You mean other podcasts?
Other podcasts, yeah. I get lots of callers. So.
Just need to find those people.
And for no other reason, they call in to call them, you're an idiot!
We are idiots.
Well, yeah, we are idiots. But we were trained to be idiots by our New World Order. And we were just kind of like starting to wake up. So. We're less of an idiot than you are.
Right.
So. Bye.
yeah. I'm about to park. So, we were talking earlier about talking about RFID chips on the podcast.
Okay, I didn't catch that last part. But RFID, yeah.
I hit a bump.
Oh.
Yeah, since I pulled tanker, when I hit a bump, it's like hitting three bumps. But anyways, yeah, RFID chips, RFID technology.
Readable from a distance.
From a distance, I will steal your identity.
Yeah. I would like to get a hold of the scanner just to see how far away a chip can be read. And then verify that the chip has been destroyed by using the same reader.
Right.
And do experiments like microwave. Beep. You know?
Exactly.
I've heard you can destroy them in the microwave, but I've also heard sometimes they burn your card up when you do that. So, you know, what's the minimum microwave time to destroy the chip?
The minimum microwave time on what frequency will destroy the chip? Because some of them have high, low, and medium.
Yes. Well, yeah. Or maybe get one of these burning lasers and come in from the backside. But I don't know what happened. It looks like my chip blew out.
Shaka.
Yeah, you got to watch those chips. They're explosive.
Right. Good thing it didn't blow up while it was in my pocket. That would have hurt. That could be like Forrest Gump. I got shot in the buttocks.
You want to see?
All right. Yeah, he did show somebody, didn't he? Like the president or whatever?
Yes, he did. You want to see? And the president says, okay.
Yeah, that's meant. Oh, I got shot in the buttocks. Well, okay. I was looking at those so-called RFID protective sleeve thingies.
Yeah.
And they're supposedly just plain leather.
Really?
I don't know. I had to get a closer look. I didn't buy one, so I don't know.
Yeah, see, that's something else. You get one of those wallets, you get a scanner, and you check and see. You know, or find a store that has a scanner for its stuff, and you just tell them, listen, we want to see if this stuff works for stopping the chip from being readable. You know. Yeah, that's something else. A lot of the places you go, you're supposed to slide your card in and read the chip. All right? So without destroying the chip, I mean, we want the chip gone, but without destroying the chip, hairspray.
Hairspray?
Thin film and hairspray. Or clear coat. You know, I do a lot of arts and crafts, or at least I used to. I'd like to get into it again. If you do a chalk drawing, there's this clear coat, flat matte clear spray that you can spray on your chalk drawings. And so it's non-reflective, but it makes it so your chalk drawings can't be rubbed. You know, so when you're finished, you can spray this stuff on. It just looks like a sheet of paper, but now you can't rub the chalk. And so your art, your project is done. and nobody can mess with it. Short of burning the paper. But, you know, some of that over those six little copper plates that are on your card. The copper plates will still be shiny, or, you know, whatever color. They're not really shiny, but, you know, they still appear, but the machine would no longer be able to make contact with them. And they go, well, it's not working. Like, well, here's the card. Card's valid. You know, they come home with your machine. Because you're going to have to do it manually, since you won't do it by the swipe.
Right.
You know. So that's...
Right. Parked too far away from the building. I can't get internet.
Where's my internet?
Yeah, let's see if I can get a closer spot.
So,
go ahead.
My pen pal from Philippines, because that's basically what she decides she should be, is my friend. Was feeling down in the dumps because she can't find any work. And at first is going to answer her with suggestions of what I'm doing. And I realize, now, this is a woman. She's not asking for advice. She's asking for a shoulder, a sympathetic ear.
Correct.
So I erased everything I was going to say. And basically wrote that I was sorry that she was, I used her own words. I can't remember what I wrote, though. Basically, she was feeling overwhelmed because she can't find a job.
Okay.
And she wrote back, you know, thank you for always being there as a friend, blah, blah, blah. All right? So, I guess I said the right thing for her. And so I took that as an opportunity to say what I was going to say. And I described to her what basically what I do here and asked, you know, is there anybody around there who needs help but doesn't have money to pay for it? You know, somebody she could go and give a hand to. You know. And, you know, I do that around here, and a lot of people pay me. Right? A lot of times they pay me minimum wage, but, you know, I generally don't negotiate a fee. Unless they really pin me down, then I'll negotiate. But for the most part, I don't negotiate. For the most part, they make an offer. And a lot of times, you know, they offer $8, $10, you know, whatever, an hour. And so I keep track of the time, you know. For some people, I even keep track of my breaks, like Randy.
Right.
You know, but I take that as part of what they're asking me to do. Okay. And, you know, they come up with whatever way they want to give me a gift, because that's what it boils down to is, you know, I accept offerings. I offer my labor and I accept offerings in return. Right. So I suggested that to her. Because, you know, these people, even though they might not pay her, they might send her home with some vegetables. Or, you know, more than likely, they'll know somebody who needs help and who will pay.
Right.
And they'll pass that on to her. And honestly, the greater benefit to what I'm doing, other than getting paid, is it's a process by which I've been building community. And, eventually we're going to get our CES Thrift Exchange up and going. And when we do that, these people that I've been building community with will suddenly be put in contact with each other. And they'll have skills that normally they couldn't sell, because nobody's going to pay grandma $40 to bake cookies. They might give her 40 CES credits, bake cookies for their birthday party or whatever. And then invite this woman that they don't know over to the party as well, so she meets all the other parents. And so, these, for lack of a better term, these little skills would suddenly become a source of livelihood. And people who normally wouldn't be able to afford such an extravagance as having a cookie baker, who would normally just go down to Woods and buy the cookies. What'd I do? Okay. Anyway. But it seems that she didn't understand what I was saying, but she got part of it. And so I'm kind of waiting for her to ask a few questions and tell me what she's done, and the results of it. Because it'd be kind of neat, that, I really can't be there for her because, she's halfway around the planet from me. But it'd be neat if I managed to reach out and touch somebody else and get them to do what I'm trying to do here. I might turn around and be asking her pointers, what exactly did you do? Because I haven't been that successful. Silence.
Silence!
There we go. Yeah. So, I planted a tree today. The fig tree.
Fig tree.
And it is buried in a 3-foot circle, 4-foot high of leaves. And then I decided, that chicken wire isn't going to hold itself up very well when the wind blows. So then, I pounded in 3 T-posts. The next one, I'll put the 3 T-posts in, wrap the wire around them, and then fill it. Oh, well. One step at a time. Oh, boy.
Let's see. What's going on here?
RFID chips.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah, who did you tell me drilled theirs out? They just took a drill bit and drilled right through it?
Prepper.
Yeah. And they haven't given her any trouble over that?
Not too much. Not enough. But you know how she is. She'll challenge them.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, just flat out tell them, well, for, you know, for security reasons, I have disabled the chip.
Yeah.
And they'll be like, but that's supposed to give you greater security. And you go, how is that? How is it giving me greater security? And more than likely, they're going to say, I don't know. Or they're going to say, well, you know, yeah, they're going to say something stupid about being, you know, readable. You know, you don't even have to bring the card out or whatever, you know.
Lie!
And it's like, oh. So I don't even have to take it out of my pocket for somebody to read it in my pocket. You know.
Yep.
You know, there isn't really anything they can say that... there isn't really anything they can say that demonstrates that it's more secure. You know?
Right.
It's just not. Like, you read from a distance? Oh, you mean that means that, you know, I'm just walking down the street and somebody can charge my card? And I wouldn't even know it?
Well, yeah, I mean, that's basically what Walmart and the rest of them are going towards. They're planning on getting rid of cashiers. You walk in, and of course, you're equipped with a chip in your body. And whatever else you have on your person that has RFID chips, everything, because our clothes, our shoes, anything that we buy is starting to be embedded with RFID chips.
Yeah, so, that, and there's another method they use. They can use a chemical signature, too. That,
right. What they plan on doing is they plan on having these sensors when you walk into the store. And the sensors will scan you, your RFID chip, and whatever else they scan. And it'll remember that. So when you walk out of the store, whatever you have in addition to what you came into the store with, it'll charge you for it on your RFID chip.
And it'll do it automatically.
It'll do it automatically. So if you steal something, you can't steal anything because it'll automatically go onto your RFID chip when you walk out the door.
Well, that'd be great. But we all know that those things don't always catch everything. So what if you walk in the store and all you have on you is your billfold and the clothes on your back, all right? And it failed to read your underwear.
The one you're wearing when you go in?
Yeah, and it failed to read it.
But it read it on the way out.
And it reads it on the way out.
Right. Then they do a search. You say, well, you can have my dirty underwear if you want, but, you know, hey.
Yeah, but you won't even know until you review the bill.
Oh, right, because they'll charge you for your dirty underwear.
They'll charge you for your dirty underwear.
Right. That would be a problem.
Now, theoretically, they wouldn't do that because RFID, okay, you know how UPS, what's the barcode thing called? UPC codes?
Uh-huh.
All right. Those are, you know, unique for each type of product. You know, so if you got a 12-inch bottle, a 12-ounce bottle of Dove laundry soap or Dove dish soap, whatever, all right, that has a different code than an 18-ounce bottle of Dove dish soap, okay? But all the 12-ounce bottles have the same code in the UPC, you know, the barcode stuff, all right? And all the 18-ounces have the same code. And then when you switch brands, that's a different code, but all the ones of that size of that brand will have the same code, all right? You know, unless they change the look of the bottle or something like that, and they decide they need a new code for that, all right? Well, RFID theoretically allows them to give each item a unique identifying number. So theoretically, after you bought your underwear once, the system knows those underwear have been bought.
Right.
All right? Theoretically. And if ever you use a credit card to purchase any item while wearing those underwear, or any other article of clothing that has an RFID chip buried in it someplace, theoretically, you don't even need to bring your credit card with you. They have it on record who you are based on the constellation of clothing and articles that you carry on you all the time.
Right.
All right? So you might be wearing a different pair of underwear, but if you wore that pair of underwear with that T-shirt, you know, if you came in and out of the store a dozen times and they saw a dozen different configurations, they'd finally figure out that, oh, that shirt goes with this set of underwear, which goes with this set of shirts and this set of jeans and these set of shoes. And so any combination of those shoes, underwear, and shirts, it's got to be you.
Right.
And so if you don't even bring your credit card with you, they'll still know who to charge. They know who you are. They know who you are. And it doesn't even have to be Walmart. Any place you go, they read those RFID chips.
That's the way they want to go. But see, they also want to equip us with the RFID chips so that we won't need credit cards anymore.
Yep, stick them in our skin.
Yep.
Yep. Which is why it's kind of important to find out just exactly how much microwave energy it takes to blow the chip.
Stick your head in the microwave and blow your yeah. That's why they'll put it in your head.
Well, yeah.
You blow the RFI, you blow your brain out.
Like, why are you missing your left eye? Because I dug the chip out.
Ouch.
They threatened to put it behind my right eye. I said, I'd dig it out too.
I'm blind. Yeah. Well, yeah, it all goes down to basically this. You know, we had a discussion where I was picking up my load today about rules, regulations, standards, and guidelines. About, you know, the guy was talking about how he used to be able to get local honey from the local people that had bees and produced honey. Now he can't. The local ordinance basically shut down the beekeepers from being able to sell their honey at the farmer's market.
Interesting.
Yes. Just like in other areas, it's illegal to sell milk that's not had chemicals added.
Right. And chemical-free milk is illegal.
Chemical-free milk is illegal. Just like it is illegal to collect rainwater in certain areas. We, the people, need to start standing up to the government and say, we're not going to take this bull crap anymore. You know, yeah, we can still collect rainwater in our area, we can still sell honey that's not pasteurized or whatever, had chemicals added in our area. But if we don't stand up and say something about it and start coaxing and convincing other people to stand up and say something about it, then eventually it's going to come to us. And it's kind of like that thing where, well, I'm not a hippie. When they came for the hippies, I'm not a hippie, so I didn't say anything. Then they came for the gypsies. Well, I'm not a gypsy, so I didn't say anything. Then they came for these weirdos over here, but I'm not one of those weirdos, so I didn't do anything. Then they came for me, and there was nobody else around to help me, so I couldn't do
anything. Oh, no!
Yeah. So, you know, we need to, you know, lately, I don't know if you heard about Standing Rock, but I think it's in North Dakota. Native Americans have been battling this pipeline that's been going through their watershed.
Right.
And a lot of people in the country have been coming together for them. I haven't been able to go out there physically, so I've been doing stuff on the internet to be a voice. But there has been a lot of people out, you know, going out there to, you know, stand up to the government. We need more people like those people. We need more people standing up for what's right. Say no more to this RFID chip. No more to the rules, regulation, standards, and guidelines, and the increase in the size, the cost, extend the reach, and the power of government.
Pretty much.
Some rules, regulations, standards, and guidelines are okay, but we have way too many.
Well,
way too many.
I would say it depends on who's applying the rules, standard rules, and whatever.
And I agree to that.
You know,
we all have certain rules, regulations, standards, and guidelines that we place on ourselves and that we choose to live by, that we shouldn't be forcing those rules, regulations, standards, and guidelines onto other people unless those other people are doing harm to others. Then certain rules, regulations, standards, and guidelines will apply.
Well, yeah.
Can you argue with that one?
Yeah, I can, actually. It boils down to, if I want to buy a product and you want to sell it to me, then the rules, regulations, standards, and guidelines should be between you and me.
Right.
All right. Now, if in selling it to me, you're committing some act of fraud, well, then, yeah, something should be, you know, done concerning what you're doing. You know, because you shouldn't be using fraud.
Right.
You know, like, as part of my rules, regulations, standards, and guidelines, don't use fraud against me. Okay? So if you're dealing with me, that's one of the rules you're going to have to contend with. And if you don't like it, then don't do business with me. All right? But it's between you and me, basically. You know, and I'll only involve a third party if you're violating me, basically. You know. And it might be I do something as little as I get on the internet and I do a blog about you. Don't do business with the Stockton MFA because the asshole behind the desk will try to sell you something you don't want.
Right. Repeatedly. In the same hour.
And to other people. Not just you. I've seen him do it to others.
Oh, I know.
So.
But yeah, he did it to me 3 times. 2 of the times was back to back within the hour, within the same hour.
Yep.
So I refused.
Yeah, and you described what you wanted thoroughly, and he said, "Yeah, we got that." It's like, and we're starting to load it up. It's like, Kano, this is welded.
Right.
It's like, nope. 2x4 grid, woven wire. Oh, yeah, we got that. Now, Kano, this is woven wire, but it's steel fence. See, it's 6 inches between.
That's when I got pissed.
And then to find out that the card was defunct for a while. You gave them, basically you gave them an unsecured temporary loan.
Right. Well, yeah, then ejected my card so I couldn't go anywhere else to buy what I needed because I didn't have the funds available on my card.
Yep.
Yeah, I was not happy. I was thoroughly pissed. Now I will only go there if I absolutely have to. If nobody else in the area has it and it costs too much to drive somewhere else to get it.
But do you know what I'm finding out?
What?
It really is cost effective to drive to Springfield to get some things.
Well, and now that I'll be working in Kansas City.
We'll find places along there, too. Yeah.
I got a spider living in my truck.
Well, good for you. Hey,
I just found his nest, but I didn't find him.
All right, so I got a question for you. Okay, I went to the website concerning, you know, preconferencing.com.
Okay.
And got the instructions for how to do a recording. So if I start doing recordings and say I forget to tell you, will you be notified at some point that, hey, there's a recording here?
Yes. It sends me an email.
Very good. All right. So
that's why
I got
an email the other day about, and I thought it was just a fluke, so I ignored it.
Okay. So, well, I actually haven't done it yet, but
liar.
I plan on reading Brother Gregory's The Free Church Report. And so, if nothing else, I'll have one listener, you.
Da-da-da, well, yeah, because I take all of the podcasts, put it on my thumb drive, and I listen to them while I'm driving.
God. So you really know what kind of idiots we are.
Yeah. I listen to them at random with all my other stuff. But usually, like, before I do the podcast, or we do the podcast on a Sunday, you know, whatever, that Sunday, I'll listen to the previous podcast so I know where we left off.
Right.
Which the last podcast we left off was stupid crap.
Don't we always?
No, it wasn't totally stupid crap, but it was non-podcast stuff. And who knows, we may have listeners that just don't identify themselves. Like the New World Order!
Hell yeah.
They're probably our number of listeners.
Yeah,
maybe,
they'll...
Maybe we'll unbrainwash some of them.
Some. That's, you know, I start reading the Free Church Report, and it's like, oh, suddenly you might have some HHC members popping up, and Brother Gregory will probably contact me and say, gee, we took you off the minister list because you didn't look active, and now we see you've been doing this. So, you know, at that point, I don't mind them taking me off the list because I didn't meet their criteria, you know. But, you know, it would just be kind of funny if suddenly they saw somebody that they didn't realize was active trying to do what they're doing and found them through some effort like this. So.
Yeah. Demented Dungeons and Dragons.com.
Yep. Well, yeah, the reason why I want to do the free church report, one, I want to get through it in detail and take notes myself. I already know from what I've read through it, it's a mixture between, you know, the legalities of covering your butt in the New World Order system without sticking your foot in the tar, you know. I don't know. Are you familiar with the stories of Br'er Wolf and Br'er Fox and Br'er Rabbit?
Yes.
Okay, so Br'er Rabbit meets the tar baby. Remember that story?
Barely.
Okay. Br'er Fox and Br'er Bear came up with this scheme to catch Br'er Rabbit so they can cook him up in a stew and, you know, really, you know, get him. All right. And so they take some tar and they make this tar baby and set it on a log along Br'er Rabbit's path. All right. Sure enough, Br'er Rabbit comes by and says, "Howdy." And of course, you know, the tar baby being made of tar doesn't say nothing. And so Br'er Rabbit backs up and it's like, you know, well, that's awful rude. Supposed to say howdy back when somebody says howdy to you. And of course, the tar baby doesn't respond to that, so Br'er Rabbit decides to punch him in the nose when he made a tar. So Br'er Rabbit
stuck.
Yeah, so he stuck his fist into the tar. You know, he stuck in, he sticks his foot in the tar, and next thing you know, he's all tarred up and can't, whatever, and Br'er Bear and Br'er Fox just pick him up. Put them in a bag. All right. Well, okay, so Brother Gregory is basically describing how to avoid sticking your feet and hands and whatever into the tar baby of New World Order legalisms.
Right.
And
don't
still,
touch the...
You know, how to talk to the tar baby properly.
Talk to the tar baby properly.
Yeah, without sticking your foot in it. You know, how to deal with it without getting stuck to it, right? But he's also got a mixture of his own rules, regulations, standards, and guidelines for what he finds acceptable for you to call yourself a member of HHC. So I want to go through and separate out the HHC requirements from the avoiding the tar baby requirements. All right? Nothing against HHC, but I'm not entirely convinced that he's right on the mark on everything. You know, I think he's got a lot of things right. But some things I know he's got dead wrong, like he believes we're all slaves. All right? Well,
we
yes,
are.
Uncle,
a Social Security number.
Well, Uncle Sam thinks we're a slave. But no, just having a Social Security number doesn't make you a slave. It's being tied to that Social Security number and unable to operate without it.
True.
You know, anything that they throw at you, any leash they throw around your neck and you can't live without it, makes you a slave.
Right.
So, I mean...
being a non-slave.
And it's part of the reason why we're making the off-grid organic hippie farm, right? We don't want to be dependent on their crap,
right?
Do we want electricity? Yes. Do we want electricity from them? Hell no.
Hell to the no.
All right. I'd rather have no electricity than use their electricity. All right. So right now I'm talking to you on a phone that, you know, I'm generating the electricity via the car. Unfortunately, I have to use their gasoline in order to run it, but, you know, we're even working on fixing even that, you know?
Right. Wood gasification.
Wood gasification, yep. And we can't do it all, you know, so we need other people to join us and help us out in these things. But, you know, we need to share this information freely. I mean, that's some of the effort in trying to get convincing people to get off of the systems that they're on. Is, you know, pointing out, you know, it's, they got this leash around their neck and they can't admit it, you know. You take the handouts from Uncle Sam and you can't live without them.
Right.
So you've got to accept what Uncle Sam is doing or your handouts come to an end, you know. And so, you know, you're a slave and you don't even know it. They tell you you're free, but, well, I think, John Lennon, one of the Beatles, I think he wrote a song, something along the lines that, you know, you call yourself free, but you look like a bunch of fucking peasants to me, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I think I quoted that accurately.
I don't know.
Yeah, I'm not sure who sung it even, but, you know, yeah, I can Google it.
There you go.
Let me Google it. Let me get smart. Let's Google. Yeah, see, that's something else. I mean, we're all slaves to Google, too, because we it's too easy to look things up there. Let's see now.
Yeah, well, you know, and also the thing to help us become free is when we figure out a way to create something, we give away the information for free. We don't try to make money off of it. You figure out how to create free energy, you give the information away for free. When we try to put patents and try to lock it down, it makes it easier for the government and big business to steal it from us, you know?
Oh, yeah. Well, and, you know, sure, the individual who comes up with it will probably go away with buku bucks in their pockets. But, you know, basically they're just a highly privileged slave as opposed to an average peon, you know? And you know, so, and nobody really benefits from it, you know. They're still patenting the steam engine. You know, the major corporations, every year, they do some improvements on a steam engine vehicle, and then they repatent it. And as long as they keep doing that, you and I cannot make a competitive vehicle based on the steam engine because the patent's already held and you'd be in violation of that patent.
Even if you made it yourself and you didn't try to sell it?
Yeah, if you made it yourself and tried to sell it, somebody'd knock on your door and say you're in violation of these patents.
But if you did not sell it?
Well, if you gave it away, hey, what can they say?
Okay.
You know, so that's sort of like my labor thing. You know, I don't sell my labor. People pay me for my labor, but I don't sell it. You know, I accept offerings, I accept gifts. You know, well, if I made a steam engine for somebody and they gave me a sufficient gift, I'd be able to give the next guy another steam engine. All right? And so, you know, but if I received a gift, it's a gift, not a payment. I'm not selling it.
Right.
I'm just giving it away. All right? You know,
give it away now.
All right, and if that's the way you operate, if you operate, you know, some people call it love offering. If you operate in that basis, you know, it's really, there's no patent law that can really come after you. You know, now, they might say, based on the preponderance of evidence, you're selling this. You know? And you might have an uphill battle demonstrating that you haven't sold any. Especially if you run out of receipts to somebody.
Right.
You know, better be careful about what you write on the receipt. It's like, you know, don't write, you know, thank you for the $500 for the steam engine that I just gave you. You know, thank them for the $500 given as a free gift offering.
Donation.
Yeah, as a donation. Thank you for your donation. You know. So, yeah, back to the free church report. Basically, what he describes is how to form basically a free association. And document it. How to document that you have a free association. All right. You have lots of free associations in your life. Everybody does. All right. You go to your neighbor's house and you play gin rummy, you know, and sometimes have competitions in the neighborhood. You know, if there's such a thing as a gin rummy competition. I don't know if there is or not, but I just made it up out of the blue. All right. Those are free associations. There's no rules, regulations, standards, or guidelines saying you have to show up. No penalty for failing to do so. All right? You know, they don't kick you out of the group. All right? It's just a free association. You know, if you didn't show up, you didn't show up. Great. All right? But that is a free association. Now, you can recognize that free association on paper. And you have to be careful about the way you word it. All right? Otherwise, it's no longer free association. It becomes, you know, becomes an organization. All right? And basically, a free association doesn't really have any members. It might have one member, the minister. Person who administers the association, all right? You know, and that person might receive, you know, funding, you know, so that he can go out and buy all the gin rummy cards that are needed for the competitions and such, and all the card tables and folding chairs and stuff like that, all right? And he might be in charge of looking after those things, right? But he's the only member. Everybody else just freely associates, you know, and you know, donates to him items and or money so that he can make sure that everybody has cookies and coffee while they're playing, you know.
Cookies and coffee!
All right, and, you know, if you can't tell, I don't quite have a complete grip on it, but I have enough to understand what he's trying to achieve, you know, and there's advantages to setting up a church under that basis, and, you know, and I'm talking about true church, not not a bunch of idiots jumping up and down saying hallelujah, praise God, and Buddha, and all at once, whatever, you know, getting chatted up so they all feel good before they go home for the, you know, for the next week, all right? I'm talking about church where you get together and you find out what each other's needs are, you know, and somebody submits their prayer for help to the church, you know, and the church answers, you know. And, you know, your prayer for help would be, you know, Susie broke her leg and, you know, really needs some stuff to help her leg heal better and faster and whatever. And the church provides, whether that's funds for paying the doctor bill for the cast that was put on, or they give her, you know, somebody in the church knows how to make something like Dr. Christopher's rejuvenation tea, you know, but, you know, something's done, all right? It's not, oh, yeah, we'll just say our magic words and hope that the Almighty God reaches down and touches you with a blessing out of nowhere, all right? And, you know, it's true, God will reach down and touch us with blessings out of nowhere, but he kind of requires that we act in faith and actually do things for each other before he will reach out and do that, you know. And, you know, most churches just don't do that. They're not really churches. They don't care about each other. They're just, you know, they say they care about each other's immortal soul, but they ignore that immortal soul while it's here on earth.
But no, they don't care about each other because they always say if you know, those other churches are going to hell. If you don't believe the way I believe, you're going to hell.
Yeah, there's that too. Yeah. There's that aspect as well.
It's just like my uncle thinks I'm part of some occult because we don't believe the way he believes.
Well, of course.
The funny thing is we are a part of an occult because anything religious is of the occult.
Yeah.
Which means he's part of an occult also.
Yeah, sort of. I guess you could look at it that way. That's, you know, I'm looking through to see if I have anything open that I need to have open. All right. We need to remember project-based learning. That's supposed to be a subject tonight. Okay. I got to do a search on that, but my internet browser is acting up on me. I got to shut it down.
Shut it down, shut it down. Ubuntu.
Yeah, that's your fancy word for a community that actually takes care of each other. You know, again, true church. A church as Christ described a church.
Right.
Interesting. Huh. Okay, I guess I shut this down too.
Okay. Ron Paul.
Yes.
Ron Paul Revolution.
Are you going to run that now? Okay.
Here we go.
Date for Monday, November 21st. Maryland Governor Larry Hogan recently signed an executive order forbidding Maryland public schools from beginning classes before Labor Day. Governor Hogan's executive order benefits businesses in Maryland's coastal areas, which lose school-age summer employees and business from Maryland families when schools start in August. However, as Governor Hogan's critics have pointed out, some Maryland school districts as well as Maryland school children benefit from an earlier start to the school year. Governor Hogan's executive order is the latest example of how centralized government control of education leaves many students behind. A centrally planned education system can no more meet the unique needs of every child than a centrally planned economic system can meet the unique needs of every worker and consumer. Centralizing education at the state or worse federal level inevitably leads to political conflicts over issues ranging from whether students should be allowed to pray on school grounds, to what should be the curriculum, to what food should be served in the cafeteria, to who should be allowed to use which bathroom. The centralization and the politicization of education is rooted in the idea that education is a right that must be provided by the government instead of a good that individuals should obtain in the marketplace. Separating school from state would empower parents to find an education system that meets the needs of their children instead of using the political process to force their idea of a good education on all children. While many politicians praise local and parental control of education, the fact is both major parties embrace federal control of education. The two sides only differ on the details. Liberals who oppose the testing mandates of No Child Left Behind enthusiastically backed President Clinton's national testing proposals. They also back Obama administration expansion of federal interference in the classroom via Common Core. Similarly, conservatives who not just oppose Clinton's initiatives but called for the abolition of the Department of Education enthusiastically supported No Child Left Behind. Even most conservatives who oppose Common Core, federal bathroom and cafeteria mandates, and other federal education policies support reforming instead of eliminating the Department of Education. Politicians will not voluntarily relinquish control over education to parents. Therefore, parents and other concerned citizens should take a page from the UK and work to ed-exit government-controlled education. Parents and other concerned citizens should pressure Congress to finally shut down the Department of Education and return the money to the American families. They also must pressure state governments and local school boards to reject federal mandates, even if it means foregoing federal funding. Parents should also explore education alternatives such as private, charter, and religious schools, as well as homeschooling. Homeschooling is the ultimate form of ed exit. Homeschooling parents have the freedom to shape every aspect of education, from the curriculum to the length of the school day, to what their children have for lunch, to who can and cannot use the bathroom to fit their child's unique needs. Parents interested in providing their children with a quality education, emphasizing the ideas of liberty, should try out my homeschooling curriculum. The curriculum provides students with a well-rounded education that includes courses in personal finance and public speaking. The government and history sections of the curriculum emphasizes Austrian economics, libertarian political...
To repeat the announcement, press 1.
Okay, that was...
To repeat the announcement, press 1.
One more time, hang on.
To repeat the announcement, press 1.
So he got cut off short, didn't he?
Yeah, he did. Got his commercial cut off.
commercial cut off.
He's advertising himself.
Yeah. Yeah, we've heard the curriculum advertisement before.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's a good thing, you know. If nothing else, yeah, I know.
So how would that work for a project-based learning?
I do not know.
We'll have to get a professional on project-based learning on the podcast and see what she thinks.
Are you calling her?
No.
Well.
But I did like what she had to say about project-based learning.
What'd she say?
Let me go to our messaging. Ooh, ee, ah, bing, bang, wada, wada, bing, bang. Ooh, ee, ah, bing, bang, wada, bing, bang, boo. There it is.
Yes, it is. The thing is, you know, if the New World Order is taking it up, it's not necessarily in itself bad. It's just that the New World Order is doing it. It's bad.
Yeah, see, I don't know what her plans are because she's currently inside the New World Order programs.
Yeah, I've got a cousin who I basically told him that the school should be shut down. He's like, "Well, I'm learning to be a teacher." Say, "Well, that's great. Now, yeah, learn how to do that without stolen funds."
Right. Okay.
There is the problem.
That means that I choose a topic, Civil War. Students and teachers work together to decide what project will represent their learning on the subject. Say, a reenactment. In order to complete the project as accurately as possible, they have to engage in all core subjects. Teachers design lessons to support that, math, science, English, history. Students use their personal skills, passions, and interests to then collaboratively complete the project. Upon completion, no grades are given. The project is kept in a portfolio for submission to future colleges and employers. A far more natural way to learn and engage interests and skills already nascent in the child.
Did you get that?
Yeah. Yeah, you read that before. I like the way it pronounced nascent.
That means that I choose a topic, Civil War. Students and teachers work together to decide what project will represent their learning on the subject. Say, a reenactment. In order to complete the project as accurately as possible, they have to engage in all core subjects. Teachers design lessons to support that, math, science, English, history. Students use their personal skills, passions, and interests to then collaboratively complete the project. Upon completion, no grades are given. The project is kept in a portfolio for submission to future colleges and employers. A far more natural way to learn and engage interests and skills already nascent in the child.
Yeah, so that doesn't sound like something the New World Order would endorse.
Actually, it does. And when they said no grade would be given, they would be kept in a portfolio.
Right.
If you don't have enough of these things in your portfolio, you might not get hired. The other issue I see already is they try to keep a child's record from being available when the child becomes an adult. So is this now they're making the child's record available? You know, my son was arrested a multitude of times for being late to school. He was arrested. He has an arrest record. You know, it's gone against his criminal record. You know, so they're going to release all that information to anybody who wants to know it when they employ you now as a child? You can submit that to a college and a potential employer. Sounds to me like they're saying, okay, it's okay to say what the kid did when he was a kid. You know?
Right.
And it is a grade. It may not be an A, B, C, or D, but it's a grade. You know, the employer looks at that and says, oh, God, this is a bunch of crap. We don't want anybody who's this stupid. You know? They'll even go against the school. They'll look at it and say, oh, geez, we don't want to hire anybody from this school if they accepted this kind of stuff. So.
Right. Well, I don't know. The New World Order won't want the school to be blemished. Because it's their school.
Of course. Well, then again, maybe they do. Because then there's a problem that they created, and now they got to present a solution, which will cost more money.
Right. True that.
Yeah.
We need more money to fix this growing problem that we created in the first place.
Yeah. So.
That's true.
We have this festering wound. That we created. And we're maintaining. And we want you to fund it.
Yeah, it's basically what they do.
Because we're the know-it-alls, and you know nothing. Because you went to our school.
Right.
But it's getting bad enough that they're starting to give us presidents who are just as stupid.
Well, that's another thing I was talking about today on Facebook, you know. What did I say? Hang on a second. I don't even remember what I said. Okay. I said, vote for love and kindness. We receive what we manifest. The more we focus on what we don't like, we get more of what we don't want. We need to focus on what we want and need for ourselves, our people, and our homelands. Push for what is good and wholesome. Only then will we be on the path of happiness. So basically, we're receiving what we manifest. You know, the government is a result of our actions. Like you was talking about.
Oh, here. Okay, here. I think I found the source organization. Their website is BIE.org.
Hang on. Going there now. We find a window to open it in. And I can do it in this. B
MIE.org.
Yeah, and as long as it's taking you to get it typed in, you're probably going to beat me.
Project-based learning.
Yeah, it seems to be what that organization is about, just judging by the Google results that I saw. I haven't gotten to the site yet. Obviously, you did.
Right.
I've got 5 bars and supposedly 4G, and I still can't get it. That is something else. I've got to... I'm going to start calling these various companies that provide phone service and tell you that they only throttle your, you know, they don't cut you off, they only throttle you down, all right? But supposedly I'm supposed to only be at 2G service when I'm throttled. But I looked it up. 2G service should give me about 100 kilobits per second. I would be ecstatic with 100 kilobits per second. Heck, when they give me high speed, I only get 400 kilobits per second. So I'd only be cut by a quarter if they gave me what they said they're giving me.
Yeah. I don't know. My T-Mobile internet's pretty good.
Napa Valley, California. Oh, my God. I've actually gone to the college there.
Oh, okay. I got 21 views on this video, but nobody seems to like it but me.
What video is that?
The Republicans do not create your reality, and the Democrats do not.
Oh, it's still loading. I'm only running at 5 millibytes per second.
5 mil? Ouch.
Just kidding.
Actually, let's see.
That it's the best election ever because it gives you, as a large segment of the population of this planet, an opportunity to discover that it was never about them anyway. The Republicans do not create your reality, and the Democrats do not create your reality. We think it is the best election ever, and the outcome of it is irrelevant. They don't create your own reality. You do. But you can introduce a lot of resistance into your vibration by finding this or that or all of it to push against. They are not the vortex through which your well-being flows. They have minuscule influence on what happens to you. Your relationship with your own vortex, your getting into your receiving mode, that's what influences what comes to you. The balance of your planet and all of its diversity is magnificent. And your nation and its politics are only a small spattering in the whole spectrum of all of that. If you can make diversity your friend, see it as a big buffet of many choices, and then you can become a purer, more deliberate, more personal chooser of your own thoughts. You don't even know what either of them really thinks because you rarely have an opportunity to put it in the context of anything that is whole. Nothing is presented to you in a pure enough form for you to translate it with any effectiveness through your own physical senses. You've got to get it through your solar plexus. You've got to get it through your emotional center, you see. It's unlikely that either of them will be able to say enough to help you align.
So how do I participate in this? And if I'm going to be part of the election, or if I want to vote for somebody, or do I even vote? Do I separate myself completely from that?
Well, first, understand that you are always casting vibrational votes for everything that affects you. We would say, don't worry about it. We would say, don't suffer over it. We would say, don't push against it, and don't ever, ever, ever ask anything to be everything that you need it to be, and never, ever, ever attempt to give
anything, your whole support. That's like saying to someone, you need to be exactly what I need you to be before I can feel good. You are indeed doo-doo if that is what is necessary. This will help you to understand what the uncondition of your alignment is really about. Even those who signed those documents that are the basis of which you have founded your nation, they were not even in agreement with each other, even though they signed their names to those documents. But enough time has passed, and there was no social media for you to be up on every argument or everything that was uttered, and so time has sort of blurred your ability to understand the diversity that was present even in all of that. That was not a coming to a place of perfection from which your nation has been eroding and sliding away from ever since. It's all been and will continue to be in the process of becoming. And these people that have given so much of their life and time to get out there in order to gather the consciousness and help focus the consciousness, without exception, it would do well for you, your benefit for you, to appreciate every one of them and the contribution they are making, even if you do not agree with what they are saying. See, if you can give up on needing someone to be lovable before you love them, you will be free. If you would vote for every positive aspect you see on every side of the aisle, then you would be at least one who lines up with the vortex that you've collectively created, you see. Everyone who has lived is now non-physically focused and focused upon the well-being of what's going on here and now. There is a collective body of powerful creators and focusers who are not just rooting for your well-being, not just rooting for your survival, not only rooting for your joyous survival, but knowing with everything that we all are that it will continue to be and that it will continue to be good to the degree that you as individuals allow it to be good. So rather than asking them to be what you need them to be so that you can flow your love, just flow your love and trust that law of attraction will find the outlet for which it to flow to, you see. You don't have to worry about these things. And it doesn't mean don't be informed. It doesn't mean don't have an opinion. Those opinions matter very much. Sift and sort and decide, but then just don't get all twirled up in any outcome that you cannot control. And if someone says, how are you voting? Just say, I'm voting for the happy ticket. Which one is that? It's both of them, really. I make lists of positive aspects of both candidates every day. And that will stop the conversation right then and there. When you talk about political things, oh, Esther can talk as good a game as anyone. She really understands what's going on. In other words, she likes being informed, but she never, ever, ever gets into a political discussion with anyone that she doesn't get a knot in her stomach because we don't come to the party. And when we're not at the party, Esther's used to us being at the party. She's used to infinite intelligence streaming through. And when she gets on a subject where she's all blocked off, where she's got herself all blocked off and asks for the energy to stream, but she's all blocked off, it punches her hard. And that's what makes you think we need to do something different. But the thing that you need to do that's different isn't find someone to open your valve. You do it. The recognition that no one holds the power or the key to your vortex, that only you do. What this has been for most of you is an exercise of disempowerment. It's been a wobbling of who will help you do the thing that they were never meant to do and never will be able to do. It's a turning over your ability to lead your own life to someone else who couldn't possibly lead your own life. You could sit with each one of them and have a full year with every one of them, and you could not effectively convey to them who you are or what you want or need from them. And even if you did, they could not give it to you no matter how hard they tried because they cannot understand your perspective. That is not a gift that they have to give you. You see, you are looking for righteousness and goodness and truth and justice in all the wrong places. Enjoy the game. Enjoy the game of it. You get fixated on the negative aspects of something, and it prevents you from ever seeing any positive aspects, even though there may be some. And so Esther decided to do something that she had decided not to ever do again. She decided to watch some of the political discussion to see if she could get past her own prejudices to see if she could give anyone the benefit of the doubt enough to receive wisdom from someone that she decided was not wise, to see if she could see past the decisions that she had already made. And she was so surprised, and won't even say it out loud to you, of the intelligence that she found in this one and 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 this one. There were harmony points all over the place that you don't want to speak out loud in a political arena. What it comes down to is you have a point of attraction, and your point of attraction is showing you what it is at all times. And as a mass consciousness, you have created something that now a lot of you are complaining about. And we don't think that it's too different from what's going on in your individual life. You create things, and then you complain about them. And it's time to no longer create them. It isn't that you want to stop complaining, because that would mean no longer enjoy the contrast. But accept your point of attraction and stop trying to make the way you feel someone else's fault. When you take responsibility for how you're feeling, then you have the benefit of moving yourself into harmony with what you really feel and what you really know. And when you do that, you will have that harmonic political process that you all right now feel so desperately that you are in need of. You can't continue to look at what is and flail about in your discomfort of what it's all come to and cause it to come to something different than what you are looking at, you see. And so many of you have wisely just withdrawn your attention from it. But if you're wanting to be of help to anything, no matter how close up it is to you or how far away it is to you, get into the receiving mode and then, and give yourself the permission to find a positive aspect on somebody on the other side of the political spectrum. Because until you do that, you will never be in harmony with your inner being who loves them all. So just start deciding what you're for and start listening for evidence of that. And what you'll begin to notice is, in many cases, they start to sound like one another. No matter how far apart they are in their political views, they begin to start reflecting the sentiment of one another. And that really is the wonderful thing that's going on in this particular time, is that so many have become aware of what isn't working, that there is a vortex so powerfully inflated with what is wanting that there is an acquiescing to that. So it's not about the will of the people. It's not about the vote of the people. It's about the vibrational balance of the people. It always has been. And just because there's something that's a reflection of what's going on in the masses doesn't mean that it has to affect you unless you're one who always vibrates with the masses. You have the ability to be an individual advocate of your own well-being and others. You do not have to look at what is and let what is be the only reason that you broadcast and then receive. Isn't that an interesting thing? A whole big bunch of you all twirled up in focusing on what you don't want and broadcasting so much about what you don't want that all you're getting is more of what you don't want. And it's just getting louder and louder and louder and louder and louder.
So, yeah, we need to focus on what's right, and we need to focus on what needs to be and go that direction and not so much focus on the negatives, focus on the positives and move towards the positive.
Yeah. Yeah.
So what do you think of that video, audio?
It was interesting.
Yeah. Some of it's eluding, but what I found interesting about it was when she said if you look at both of them, they start to sound identically the same. Well, yeah, the left and the right are identically the same.
It's two sides of the same coin.
Right.
And it's the wrong coin.
It's the wrong coin. We need to figure out how to make it the right coin.
Yeah. Or how to use the right coin.
Right, that too.
Yeah. Oh, man.
How to change the nickel to silver.
I'm sorry. I'm tired.
Man, here you.
I got up really early this morning and started digging holes to plant the trees in. And I sifted all the soil, removed all the rocks, kept all the topsoil that I dug out of the first hole. And then when I got down to the clay and rock layer, I put that into the driveway area. And didn't have enough topsoil from the first hole, so took all the topsoil from the second hole. You know, rinse and repeat, basically. And so I got the second hole almost dug, but only one tree planted so far. So, yeah.
And you said that was a fig tree?
That was a fig tree. And then the next two I'm going to plant are pawpaws. I'm going to plant them about 3 feet apart from each other on the west side of the oak tree trunk. But I'm going to leave that walkway. As a matter of fact, I'm cleaning that up as I go as well, because that's my major walkway from the from my cage over to the kitchen. And there's always been stuff to trip over through there, and so I'm just cleaning it up as I go.
So you're planting all of these on the drip line?
No, I planted the fig tree on the drip line. The pawpaws like shade. And so I'm planting them deep beneath the oak tree.
In buckets or?
Into the dirt.
Into the dirt. Okay.
Yep.
Now, are these just seeds or these are actually trees that are already growing?
These are trees. Came in, not exactly flower pots, but basically they came in flower pots.
Okay.
They had been grown in a greenhouse. And I'm hoping, I got to do some research, but I'm hoping next year I'm not going to have to bury the pawpaws in leaves. I'm also hoping at some point I don't have to bury the fig trees in leaves. But everybody I know buries the fig trees in leaves every winter.
Oh, every winter.
So, yeah.
Cardboard.
Say what?
Cardboard.
Yeah, that too.
We got plenty of that. We got plenty of leaves too, though. Yeah. So next year, should we get some more trees in the spring and start planting some trees?
Well, yeah. You should take a look at the start catalog that Bill has when you get here.
I'd like to start producing some more fruit.
Yep. I mean, I had the money, and he had the catalog, and he was going to order in a few days, and so I joined in and ordered with him. And then they didn't ship right away, so that gave me lots of time to work on other things while I was waiting. And I still didn't have time to get my own holes dug in time. But then again, I was waiting for the size of the trees, because I thought the size of my hole would depend on the size of the pot they were in. But the instructions that came with them said dig a 2-foot diameter hole, 2 feet deep. So I did. So. Anyway, two of the trees are going to get my own personal brand of fertilizer. The third one, I'll have to find something else to fertilize it with. But But that's way down deep. And basically, these trees are going to have lots of nice, fresh soil, topsoil, all the way down to bury their roots into, to give them a good head start. So.
Good head start.
Yep. And, yeah, I hope the pawpaws and the buckets take off, but I have more confidence in the pawpaws I bought. I'd like to get the other varieties as well of pawpaws. And I'm going to have to learn how to tell them apart. I didn't realize there was different types of pawpaws. But there's at least four different varieties, maybe five different varieties in that catalog. And, you know, some are described as tasting like vanilla custard. So, they're not just banana flavored.
Banana flavor.
Yep.
Card lock is what it's called. Card lock.
What's that?
Hang on a second. Working on it. Found it. All right.
Did you know criminals use scanners like this to steal credit card information right out of thin air? It's called skimming. It can happen anywhere to anyone, including you. But now these wireless pickpockets can be stopped with CardLock. It's like a portable bank vault for your credit cards. Simply slide your credit or debit card into CardLock, then put it back in your wallet. Now it's virtually impossible for anyone to steal your
information.
These can scan your bank information from your purse or pocket when you walk by. It takes just a second to get your name, address, social security number, and more. Then they can steal your identity, ruin your credit, even empty your bank account. But slip your credit cards in the card lock, and it protects you from credit card fraud and identity theft. Frequency-blocking polymers are woven right into the threads of the card lock. They're light as a feather and soft as silk, yet strong and secure, like an armored car for your card, and they fit easily in your purse. Watch. Without CardLock, my credit card number is easily read. There it is. But when I slide it in CardLock, the number is blocked. It really works.
I had my identity stolen, and it took years to fix my credit. If I had just used CardLock, it would have saved me the nightmare.
My credit card was scanned, and they charged me over $1,000.
You just got rid of your RFID chip.
It's so easy to prevent with CardLock. You'd be a fool not to. Don't be a willing victim when it's so easy to stop with CardLock. Call and get two CardLocks for just $10, each made in the USA with our stylish leather look. But order now and we'll send you two more absolutely free.
Yay!
All of today's orders get shipped to you for free.
Leather?
That's right.
Look, not leather.
Get CardLock for just $10. Call now.
Yeah, it's probably pleather. But supposedly they have some fibers sewed into them that block the RFID reading capability.
Yeah, I'd like to get a hold of the piece of equipment that does the testing.
Yeah, let's Google that. RFID scanners. See how easy it is to get one.
Well, listen, do you still have a business license?
I do.
Then for you, it would probably be easy.
They're about hang on a second. Track. Handheld readers. Holy cow, that's huge. Okay, not that one.
Who cares if it's huge? I just want to test its ability.
True.
If the huge one has a greater range...
It's point and click. So that's not the one you want. Oh, wait, I think I found one. RFID... Just look at this. It's only $150.
Holy shit.
Yeah, so a criminal can steal your identity for $150. Yep. Wave ID. So basically, it's one that you just wave your card over. So if they walk close enough to you, they can steal your identity. If that reader is close enough to your purse or wallet, they can scan it right there, bam, just like that.
Yeah, you'd probably get in a lot of trouble for it, but you could set your reader up next to the door and have it go bing, 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 bing. Your card's been read.
Oh, yeah. Oh, here's one for $83. RFID reader. So, yeah, pretty cheap to steal someone's identity.
Well,
yeah,
there's more to it than that.
Huh?
There's probably something more to it than that.
Well, you got to have the software or something. I'm sure there's more to it.
And sign a license and an agreement and et cetera, et cetera. Yeah.
Right. Well, okay, let me try to buy one. Well, not, like, actually check out, but I'll do the $157 one. Okay, add to shopping cart. La, 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 proceed to checkout. Enter billing information. Okay, you got to put in email address and physical address, but we all know that that can be bumped. They can put in you know, some weird address of an abandoned house. When it gets delivered, they go pick it up. Company. Since I'm legit, I can just go ahead and put my legitimate information.
Yeah, it's not like they don't have abandoned buildings in this county.
I know, right? You know, I don't live in the United States. I live in the United Soviet States. But that's not an option.
I don't know about you, but I live in North America.
Well, yeah. That's not an option either.
Well, specifically on the Ozark Plateau.
That's not an option either.
Yep. But you can't live in the U.S. It's not possible to live in a social organization.
Yeah. I know that. You know that. This website does not know that. La-di-da.
There's a strange sound coming from your side.
That's me typing. Like,
no, it's... Wah, wah.
How about now?
No. The only weird sound I heard recently was... Dee-dee-dee. I just heard it again.
It's the New World Order. They're taping the conversation.
Yeah, it's not that kind of sound.
All right, processing. Wants my credit card information or PayPal. So really, there's nothing to it. I can just buy it.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to buy it.
I hear you. I'd rather buy fencing. I mean, that's something I'd like to do, but I'd rather buy fencing right now. You know?
Oh, I know. Well, yeah, we'll get one, and we'll test it. We'll see. We'll test different things and see what we got to do to destroy it. Now, okay, I got a Twitch card, and it's got an RFID chip in it. And it says on the back what not to do, so it tells us exactly what to do. Well, it gives us five things to do. Do not place or hang in direct sunlight. For example, do not place on the dashboard, visor, or hang from the rear view mirror of automobile. So the heat from the sun through the glass will fry the RFID chip.
Okay, so magnifying glass on that point, just long enough to soften the plastic.
Or?
Not actually smoke it.
Just stick it in a jar and stick it in the sun.
Yeah.
Boom, done. Or, like it says, put it on the dash. Or hang it from the visor.
Heat gun.
There you go.
Heat gun.
Okay.
You don't want to deform the card, but just hot enough to spoil the chip.
Yeah, fry the frequency. Or
okay,
fry the circuit.
What's the next thing you shouldn't do?
Okay, do not flex, bend, or punch hole in the card. Which is exactly what I told Prepper to do, and she did it. Drill a hole through the chip. Okay.
Well, I flexed the heck out of it today.
Huh?
I flexed the heck out of it today, so that probably broke the wires.
Right. Do not carry in wallet. It will be subject to bending.
Well, okay, most people do that anyway. So,
correct.
I wonder how long before people have defective cards.
That's a good thing. Do not laminate or apply any tape or label to the card.
Because
that
block the contract. Yeah, it interferes
with
the contact strips.
Right. So there might be some kind of tape you can put over it in order to block the frequency, too, but I doubt it.
The aluminum tape that they use for chimney pipe, stove pipe.
That might work. Yeah, will that block a scanner, though?
I don't know. It's worth a test.
Well, yeah, we'll buy one and test one. We can buy one for less than $100.
Let's not buy one. Let's find a store that uses one.
Okay.
you know? And get friendly with the owner and say, hey, listen, we're testing some things out. Here's our card. We want to see if you can read it. And then the first thing he does is he peels off the aluminum tape. He said, no, 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 we want to see if you can read it with it on there. He'll say, oh, of course I can.
Okay, this last one we don't want to do because it'll mess up the magnetic strip on the card also. It says, do not place the card near a magnet or strong magnetic field.
Actually, have you ever had a demagnetizing wand?
No. But I do know that I've had magnetic strip cards up against my money clip, and my money clip is a magnet, and it demagnetized the magnetic strip on the card. So we can play with it, but I'm pretty sure that's not a good option.
Well, okay, here's my point. I've used those on television screens to fix magnetic damage. All right?
Oh.
And you can very much, you can pinpoint where you're doing it.
Okay, so you fry the chip, and then you remagnetize the card.
Yeah, that's doable, but you'd have to have something that accurately reads your original content.
Oh, okay, never mind.
And there's machines that do that. I'm thinking you could apply the demagnetizer directly to the chip without affecting the strip.
Okay. Here's a wireless one for $400. And that's probably what the criminals are using. The ones that don't, they don't have to have wired in, plugged up.
Right.
It just remembers the data on like a thumb drive or something.
Yep, yep.
Or it sends the signal back to something else. I don't know. Yeah, it's a wireless one. RFID reader writer. Oh, whoa. So they can rewrite your card.
To a new chip.
Oh, so they can take a card, take your information off your card, put your information on their card, and it's got their name on it, and it looks like it's them, and they're using your money.
Yeah, but that's taking a big chance because so many places use cameras, and they would have a record of when you made your purchase. And when you made a when you make a complaint, they'll have a picture of that person.
Oh yeah, that's right. So they would have to do it online.
Yeah.
But yeah,
and even then they'd have to be careful.
Right.
I don't even know how you'd get it mailed to yourself. Effectively.
Send it to an abandoned house.
They'd work for a while.
Yeah, I don't know. I've seen and heard of people doing stuff like that. But, I don't know. If they sell your identity to somebody in another country, it would be harder to catch them because then, you know, our people have to go to another country to catch them. It's like those catfish. Most of the catfish are from other countries, and we can't do anything about it.
Yeah, which is probably why so many of them are from what? I forget the country, but basically West Africa.
Nigeria.
Is it Nigeria?
Usually. The countries change every now and then, you know, which countries are target areas for criminal activity. But for catfish, right now, the big, the main area is Nigeria.
Right.
And Nigeria actually seems to be pretty well known for a lot of criminal activity, because every now and then it changes up and stuff like that, different things. But Nigeria seems to be the one that's at the top of the list of countries that keep resurfacing for scammers and stuff. Because I kind of been staying not really on top of all of them over the past decade or so, but, you know, I try to stay in the loop for the most part. Because, you know, I get the emails just like everybody else does and whatnot. And for a while, I had not a website for that specifically, but I had a website for, I put that type of stuff on my primary website to just educate people. Now I have, I tried to create another website called anticriminalclub.com.
That's all right. I used to run them back and tell them how to safely get the money out on their own without assistance.
I'm sorry, what?
Oh, some rich guy would contact me and say he's trying to get out of Nigeria, and, you know, he has so many gold whatevers, and, you know, he needs somebody on the other side to help him get it out. And it's like, so I'd write him back and give him very specific instructions for how to get it out on their own safely. Not sure how good my advice was, but, you know, basically it was boiled down to, if you got what you say you got, you don't need my help.
Pretty much, because all you got to do is create another identity and just move your money to that identity and then go.
Yeah.
Right.
You know? And of course, they'd really key in on me because they thought they had me on the line. So it was right back and forth, you know, it's like.
Just crazy.
Now, I'm willing to help you, but I'm not going to help you in a way that's, you know, detrimental to you. I don't want your money. I don't want your gold. I don't even want to touch it.
That's funny. You're basically counterproductive to them.
Yeah.
And they didn't realize it.
No. They thought they had a fish on the line.
That's funny. It's almost like haunting it.
Pretty much. You know? And if they had been legitimate, I may have helped somebody. I don't know, but.
You know, we ought to do that to the catfish.
Well, in a way, I do. I don't know how many catfish I've contacted and talked to in long term. And, you know, basically told them, if you're going to come here, you're going to have to get here on your own.
When they ask for money, they say, well, I need money. so I need you to send me some money.
Yeah, it, you know.
That's usually what they ask for is money.
This goes back to rubbish talk from, like, last week, but there's one girl that's been talking to me lately. Now, she's cute and attractive, but she's of the appearance that I'd have to have her drop her pants if she showed over here so I could know for sure.
Okay.
You know, I've been to San Francisco. I've been to San Francisco. I've seen some of the street walkers who are really boys. So they were really good looking, but you know, it's you're in the wrong neighborhood for that one. That's usually three blocks over. You're in the place where the boys usually walk, and you look like a girl. So you pretty well know that that's really a boy.
Right.
You know, so I mean, yeah, it's possible for a boy to make himself look sufficiently attractive, but, and she's attractive, but she kind of looks borderline, you know. Might be just the angle of the photographs and such, but you know. If she does come over, I'm going to want to see her in a bikini.
Right.
At the very least, you know. I suppose that's what the medical checks are all about. It's like, you know, Well, you know, that's what you do before you get serious with somebody.
Pretty much.
Yeah. So, there's the answer. Like, you know, okay, need to have a full disclosure medical check.
I'm the doctor.
Can it check you for diseases? And
oh, that too, yeah. I require it. Test before
yeah, check you for diseases and other conditions.
Right. Yep.
Well, okay. You get them checked for diseases. I'd want to check for fertility.
Oh, there you go.
And, you know, at the same time, have myself checked for fertility. So, because, you know, it's a mutual thing. If they're attracted to me because I want children, you know, obviously they want children too. So, then we have to, at that point, we have to decide, do we want to go to artificial means in order to, you know, have children, et cetera, et cetera. And how are we going to go about funding that? Because we're not going to accept Obamacare for it.
You mean communist care?
Yeah, well, currently it's called Obamacare. It was called, dang it, what did they call it when Hillary? Yeah, they called it Romney Care.
It was Romney Care before it was Obamacare.
Yeah, and you know, it was... Well, when Clinton was president, Hillary got it named after her, and
she was probably pushing for it back then. Yeah.
Yeah.
Or they were pushing for it.
Yeah. See, that was a funny thing too.
That's why I call it by its true name, communist care.
Yeah, because that was an interesting thing too. Because remember, what's his name, Perot?
Ross Perot, yeah.
Yeah, he was like the third leg of, you know, possible candidates, all right? And he was against Hillary, all right? And he was against the other guy. I forget who the other guy was. He was against Clinton, and he was against the other guy, all right? But the three of them got together and sign documents to form the healthcare system that they were calling, Hillary Care. They were labeling it with her name, but three sides of the coin were getting together to put that thing together.
Right.
You know?
Show you what the true story is.
They were doing it in the background. They were doing it behind the scenes. It was not legislature. It was, you know.
Well, right. I mean, I keep trying to tell people it's like WWF and WWE. They're just a bunch of actors and actresses on stage doing a song and dance to make us think that.
But there's people now. There's still people out there who are like, no, that's real, man.
There's people out there that still think that wrestling is real, too.
Only in high school.
Huh?
Only in high school,
correct.
Only in high school. Yeah, I took a semester of wrestling, and the coach did not want me anywhere near the team.
Why?
Because nobody could pin me.
Oh.
And the reason they couldn't pin me is because I'm double jointed.
Well, they should have liked you then.
No, because there's certain rules, regulations, standards, and guidelines concerning the opponent's arm being behind his own back. And that's basically what I would do. If they were too strong for me and I couldn't manipulate them, I just stuck my arm back there. And you put enough force on my arm and my hand comes up over my shoulder. And you can't pin somebody whose shoulder blades you can't put down.
So you'd be disqualified, basically.
I mean, they could put their full body weight on me and try to push on both shoulders. My blades were not going to touch the ground, neither one. Because my hand was in the way. And I'm sure my shoulder socket had a sickening look about it whenever they did that.
Right. Freak people out.
He's in there trying to pin me, and I'm waving at him from over my own shoulder.
You freak.
It's like, ah! Well, plus I did manage to pull myself out of some pins that they thought for sure they had me, you know. So, but yeah, the coach didn't want me on the team.
He probably couldn't have you on the team.
Probably not.
Thanks for the order.
C-A-I-N-O.
Hey, that's unprofessional on a podcast.
What? You're not supposed to hear anything. You got noise-canceling mic.
I heard you talking to that lady.
Thank you. I'm ordering my din din.
Oh my. Yeah, we need to look more into that. Because just because the New World Order is doing it doesn't mean it's bad.
Sure. They take a good thing and destroy it.
Well,
yeah, I mean, all right, we're supposed to take care of the orphans and the widows, the destitute and things like that, all right? We're supposed to do that, all right? And basically, that's what the New World Order is doing, all right? They don't really want us going around and having lascivious sex here, there, and everywhere. But it's, well, basically the theory that Christ gave is do everything by faith, hope, and charity. All right? But the New World Order, which has been around since Cain, you know, of Cain and Abel days, right? You know, way before you, before you were born, before the Kano was born, all right?
Oh, yeah, I'm Kano, not Cain.
Yeah, all right? So, you know, way back, the New World Order started, you know, right after Adam. It's not really new. All right? And if you don't believe, if you don't believe biblical history, well, then you know the Anunnaki brought the New World Order. Okay, it's
true.
It's been in the universe since just after the beginning. All right,
we've been fighting it ever since,
and we've been fighting it ever since. And the truth is, fighting is the wrong approach. Okay. The New World Order's theory is basically fear, force, and violence.
Fear, force, and violence. My
okay.
Two favorite things.
Basically, they're saying, all you fuckwads can't obey yourself on your own. You need somebody to beat the crap out of you to make you, you know, behave. All right? And that's the only way it's going to be. All right? And they'll do everything they can to prove their point, including destroying those who are behaving.
Including destroy the people that are behaving?
Yes. Yep. Because they can't have any proof that they're wrong.
Right.
You know, so it's essential that their system fail to prove that they're right. And it just,
so
it just, go ahead.
Go ahead.
Yeah, so it just keeps unwinding until eventually it does collapse under its own weight. This is what happened to Rome. Rome started out as a republic. Rome started out faith, hope, and charity. It really did. It started out faith, hope, and charity. Right? The council that met, the senators that met, and stuff like that, they didn't, quote-unquote, rule the people.
Right. It's just the greed creeped in and took over.
Over time, people got lazy. All right? You know, you read through the Bible, okay? The people demanded to have a king to go and do their fighting for them. All right? So they picked one of their number. They had an election. All right? And I forget who the priest was at the time, but he complained to God saying, oh, look at all these people. They've rejected me. And God said, no, they haven't rejected you. They have rejected me. They chose a king other than me.
Right.
Yeah. And I try to explain to people, whenever they go and vote, they're choosing somebody other than God to rule.
That's why I didn't vote.
Well, that's one of the reasons I didn't vote.
Yeah, it's actually not the reason I didn't vote. The reason I didn't vote was because God does not teach me to vote for something which I know to be evil, so therefore I cannot vote for the lesser of two evils.
And that's true, too. That's true, too. I stopped voting for a number of reasons.
First off, I looked around. I saw all these people voting in ignorance for this, that, and the other. And I go, you know, people really shouldn't vote for things that they do not have a good grasp on.
I agree
you know, they don't. If they're ignorant on the subject, they shouldn't vote on that subject. If they do vote on that subject, they should at least vote for it to not happen.
Right. And that's basically Lenny's argument. Lenny's argument is he will vote no on anything that increases the size, the cost, extends the reach, and the power of government.
Yeah, well, it's almost Lenny's argument, but yeah. All right. So I pulled myself out of the voting over that subject alone because I looked at it and I go, I don't know enough about any of this thing. And I'm a pretty smart guy.
Yeah, smart ass.
Well, yeah. I'm smarter than the average jerkwad out there.
kidding.
Well, you know, I'm not. you know, I might be an idiot, but I'm smarter than most of the people I see out there. And I came to the conclusion, I don't know enough to vote on this subject, that subject, or the other. And so I just refrained from voting based on that. And later on, I learned many reasons why I shouldn't be voting. A number one reason not to vote is I don't have the right to tell you how to live your life. And I don't care if there's 100 people who agree with me and only one that agree with you. I still don't have the right to tell you how to live your life. And every election is 51% or more telling 49% or less how to live their life.
Right.
And as far as I'm concerned, if 51% of the people want Trump to be their leader, fine. They can have Trump as their leader. But the 49% who wanted Hillary to be their leader, they should be allowed to have Hillary as their leader.
And the people that voted for Mickey Mouse should have Mickey Mouse for their leader.
If they can find him.
Yeah.
Or his appropriate representative.
There you go. Go live at Walt Disneyland or World.
Yep. You know? And so it's another reason why I don't vote. I don't feel I have, I know that I do not have the right to tell you how to live your life.
I can tell you how to live yours, though. Because
I still have choices. I still have choices. I could move on. I could move on. But, yeah. So.
I know I can. Oh, well, anyways. Yes, all right. So, we pretty much covered our topic for RFID chips, increasing the size, the cost, extending and reach of the power of government, and Ron Paul's recording. Anything else you want to touch on before we call it a day?
I don't know. I do know that we didn't cover project-based learning well enough, but that's because we don't really know enough about it. But it's something to look into.
Yes.
Something we should, you know. Yeah, I don't know.
Project-based learning, Ron Paul's curriculum, and homeschooling and community schooling, you know. David, idea of schooling and my idea of schooling is similar but a little bit different. I believe more along the lines of the old ways where the community came together, built a school, and the community picked the teachers to teach their children. David thinks that we should all be homeschooled and you know, where the parents teach the children, which I guess in the old days, parents taught the children also because they taught them their ways.
Hey, I don't mind hiring a tutor once in a while, you know, or even long term, or, you know, your child apprenticing with somebody else to learn a different skill that you don't know.
Right. Maybe we should homeschool and also trade children, you know. I'm like, all right, you're going to go with Johnny's parents today, and Johnny's parents are going to go with us today, you know, and, you know, learn different stuff.
Well, yes, something like that. I mean, you know, they have apprenticeships where the parents would contract somebody else for a period of 7 years to teach their child a skill. You know.
Right, back in the old days.
Yeah, you know, I think it was kind of inappropriate because it was a form of slavery. Well, it was slavery, actually. You were a slave to your master, but the intent of that slavery was for you to learn a skill. You know. But you belonged to that person for 7 years. At the end of 7 years, hopefully he taught you enough for you to go out and use the skill. It'd be a little hard for him to use you as a slave if he didn't teach you something.
Right.
You know. What I found inappropriate about that is, well, you know, slaves get beaten for the silliest of things. You know, so I suppose it depends on who you got apprenticed to. Anyway, so good night, folks.
So long, farewell, auf Wiedersehen, goodbye. Till next time at DementedDungeonsAndDragons.com. You can find the phone number there or at DavidDavidAndDavid.com under Alternative Thinking under Podcast. During the winter months, we meet at 7 p.m. on Sunday. During the summer months, we meet at 8 p.m. And you'll know when we change whenever the New World Order changes the daylight savings time.
Yeah, some state was talking about stopping that, but oh well.
Arizona doesn't do it. I think
half
of Indiana doesn't do it or something like that.
Well, it's a discussion for another podcast. So.
Yeah. So yeah, daylight savings time, that's when we change our times. In the summer it's 8 p.m. and in the winter it is 7 p.m.
You mean we actually follow along with the New World Order on something?
Well, I just basically came to that conclusion today. I didn't discuss it with you.
Yeah.
I'm a dictator like that.
To be honest, it's kind of like keeping an even flow with the day and disregarding the New World Order.
Well, you pretty much want to do it by sunset, and that's about even keel.
Yeah, it's about average sunset. And so when the New World Order changes the clocks, we're still doing the podcast at the same time.
Well, yeah, basically. But it really just is letting other people, you know, have a guideline, because we didn't have a guideline before. We just arbitrarily changed it whenever we decided to change it. At least this way we have a guideline, so people will say, oh, the New World Order changed the clocks. Okay, DD&D is going to change their time, which really it won't be changing. It'll stay the same.
Yeah. Yeah. Okie dokie.
No, okie dokie. So, party on. I'm going to eat and pass out.
I'm going to go pass out and I'll eat.
Okay, bye.
Bye.